Well, good morning. Yes, kids are being dismissed. And as they file out, this morning we're going to take a look at, as we continue in the series, The Power of Compassion. The power of compassion in the face of failure. As I've been thinking through it, we all, or many of us, throughout our lives have worn different hats, right? Starting with being children, growing up to being teens, going into the world, making our way, getting jobs, having family, husband titles, wife title. Child of aging parents. There are different positions that we find ourselves in. And I thought about it that it is so easy in our world because we wear so many hats, because of the complexities and how fast life is moving, that it's easy to fall short. Easy to find ourselves feeling like we have failed or walk around with the perception that we have failed. And when you do multitasking, when you wear different positions, take on different positions, wear different hats, it's very easy to drop the ball. You know, there's a lot of juggling that we do in our lives. We're not as successful as the guy I remember way back on what was called the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, some of you... Yep, I get that. I get that yawn. Some of you don't. You don't. Who was Ed Sullivan? But he was like, you know, a show host. And he'd have different acts come on the show. And I'll never forget, he had this one guy who spun plates on these tall, thin sticks. I don't feel alone now. I see somebody shaking their head. Yeah, I remember that. And this guy would start on one end of the stage, and he'd spin a plate. And he would make his way across that stage. And he knew exactly when to go back and spin that other one and give them a little turn so that when he was done, he might have had maybe a dozen sticks and this place was all spinning. I have to say to you, my life has never been that way. I've broken a lot of plates. In fact, when Pastor Nick played the last song, the words in that song that always resonate with me the most is, "Take my fears and failures." Take my fears and failures. Because I don't know about you, but as I go through life, I find that there are a lot of things to fear. And quite often, because of all the juggling, I feel like a failure. I feel like I've fallen short, or I've let somebody down, or I've missed something. And I think that from time to time, we all can tend to feel that way because we're human. We need to know that our failures and our shortcomings do not constitute who we are or who God has made us to be, because we all fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said it. I believe it. I live it. You know, so this morning as we go on, I want to look at some individuals in the Bible who dropped the ball. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go to the Bible and I read about those who have gone before us, well known in the scriptures, who have dropped the ball, there's a small part of me inside that kind of feels good, you know? You know? I don't feel alone, you know? I'm not the only one that has a habit of blowing it, you know? And I don't know what part of that is of me. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I'm just being honest with you, that sometimes I feel that way. But I have to say, when we look at these individuals, not only will we see their shortcomings and their failures, but we will see the recovery of their lives. And I want to stress that with you, because the passion of God is all about recovery. None of us can measure up. None of us is going to get to where we need to be with God in this life and the one to come on our own. Or because we measure up, or because we have certain gifts and talents. We all fall short. We all miss the mark. We all drop a few plates, all right? And so this morning I want to look at an individual by the name of Mark, or he was known as John Mark. And to give you some background, Mark was Barnabas's cousin, and Mark went with Barnabas and Paul on one of their mission trips. But something happened along the way, and I want to enter with you on Acts chapter 15, 36, 38. Now, this was after the fact. Paul had gone and visited all these cities, and now he says to Barnabas, the two of them get together and say, let's go back and visit these places where we had an impact, where God used us. And let's go see how they're doing. And so it says, after some time, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every city where we preach the message of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, Barnabas wanted to take his cousin, John, who was called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take along with them the one who had quit and deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, Paul was right. Mark dropped the ball. He got up and he left and he went back to Jerusalem. You know, these mission trips, if you've read through them, were not a cakewalk. Every city and town that Paul went, he was met with trouble. And that trouble had a way of following him. Because after he would get out of one city, escape one city, some of the people in that city would say, let's track him down. You know, like we see in the old westerns, let's form a posse. Let's go out and get him. Let's hunt him down. Let's bring him in, you know. Got to stop this guy. And so they, every city they went to, they had problems. So when you kind of link that up with what happened with Mark, you kind of can understand maybe some of the things he was feeling, you know. Like, this is not easy. I mean, how many of us feel that every day? Get up. Get yourself going. Going to go to work. Again. Yeah. Life is not easy. It's not just work, but you have family. And then if someone is sick in your family, or if there's someone that needs special attention, or you're having issues on the job, there's so much to grapple with in life. And so sometimes, in our humanness, we say, you know what? I can't do this. I don't know if I want to do this. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's a part of us that says, I want out. I want out. And I think to some degree, Mark was probably feeling that. I want out. I'm going home. You know, this has gotten out of hand. This is more than I bargained for. And I need a break. You know, I need a break. And so Paul was adamant about what he saw with Mark. He was upset. I don't want this guy coming with us again. How do you know, Barnabas, he's not going to bail on us again? That he's going to leave us flat, or he's going to leave us in the lurch. But there was something in Barnabas. You want to call it that they were cousins, and he knew Mark. They spent some time growing up. But there was a compassion. And just like we sang today, everyone needs compassion. Everyone. You need compassion. I need compassion. In fact, I want to say to you that without compassion, it's very hard to get on to the next thing. Or even if you do, you're carrying a bag of weight behind you. You know, you're dragging mistakes. You're dragging how you feel about yourself and the failures that you might have done and missed and so on and so forth. And you're dragging them with you. But God wants us to be able to be free of those weights. Because we all fall short. But does that mean that we have to live with them every day in our minds and play those tapes or those CDs? Because tapes are out of style, right? Pop the CD in the player and put it in the car. How many of you get a book, you know, on audio and it's on CD and you put it in there, you know? I went through a whole 1776 book one time on the Revolutionary War. It was all on CD, and I just, as I drove back and forth to work, I just listened to it. It was awesome. But we don't have to do that with the tracks of our life. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't tell you how many times I've gone down the road And I have found myself, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, playing back some old CDs, man. Like, things I did years ago. Remember when you did that? I'm like, why is that coming up? Remember when you said this to so-and-so? Or you're embarrassed? Or what? And so, I say all that to say it's very easy to walk around with those old memories that play over and over again. And what do? Nothing but drag us down and haunt us and remind us of our humanness, right? Barnabas was someone who was saying, listen, in essence, I want to take my cousin with us. Like, I want God to do something in his life. And apparently there was something there that when Mark reconnected with Barnabas, it spoke to him. And what's wonderful is that later on, Mark recovers, man. I mean, big time. But at a point in Paul's life when he was in prison in Philippi, this is what he writes to Timothy. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Get Mark. Get him. And bring him with you. For he is very helpful to me in the ministry. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about it. You've blown it, and now you have another opportunity. It's God's compassion. That's the way God is working. Because if we are really in touch with ourselves, there isn't a day that goes by where there is a ball or a plate that we drop. And we need to know that God is right there. Right there. With his compassion, wanting to refresh us, wanting to reinstate us. Because you and I, as we go through life, there's so many things that can disconnect us. And God's saying, I want you. Yeah. And sometimes this is very real to me. Vinny, as messed up as you are, I want you. And I say to him, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? And the answer always comes back, yes. And it blows my mind. It blows my mind. Because God is into recovery. See? Long before we use that word in our modern day society, to help others, God has always been about recovery and restoration and restoring us, and it's all through his compassion. So I want to take a look at another recovering failure with you this morning, and that is our dear brother Peter. So let's look at Luke 22, and we're going to look at Luke 22, verses 31 to 34. Now, I know I didn't tell you this up front, but and it should be in your bulletins if you happen to look at them, and I think most of you don't, so I'm going to tell you, that we're going to go through the scriptures today through the Amplified Bible, and there's a little bit more wording in that, but there were things in there that kind of grabbed me this week, and I wanted to come from that place. We're going to look at Peter and Company, a group of recovering failures, all right? And this is Jesus' words before everything falls apart, all right? Simon, Peter, listen, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. And you, once you have turned back again, recovery, to me, strengthen and support your brothers in the faith. And Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will utterly deny three times that you know me. Utterly deny me three times. See, Jesus already saw the failure before it took place. And I want to tell you that quite often I believe that God, when he looks at us, he already knows what we're going to step in tomorrow, what we're going to blow, the very plate that we're going to drop, the time that we're going to drop it, and how we're going to shatter it. He knows. And yet, He continually makes provision for us by his compassion to come through it, just as Peter did. Peter was told beforehand, listen, I already know that this is what you're going to do. But God already had in place compassion and restoration and recovery for him before it even happened. It really kind of rung home to me about God's prevenient grace, you know, grace that goes ahead of us, grace that is there even before we arrive, even before you and I ever came to saying, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. God's grace was going ahead, laying the path, making the way. And I want to tell you that there are people that you and I come in contact with, God is sending grace out, and maybe you're part of that grace for them. But God's provisions are laid out. His compassions are rich and full, and they are out there, and it is to do a work in our lives. And he does an incredible work in the life of Peter and Mark. Because at some point, these two guys, as messed up as they are, hook up. They link up. And God uses them together. So Mark is the guy who eventually pens the Gospel of Mark. And who is he listening to, who has firsthand account to what took place? It's Peter. It's Peter's words. It's Peter's thoughts, his experiences with Christ that Mark is taking down and recording. Because at some point they said, you know what? We're starting to die off here, you know? What's going to happen when you guys are gone? Peter, James, Thomas. We need to have something to pass on to the next generation. For those who are to come, like you and I. And how will we do that unless we get it in writing? Let's get it in writing. And these two guys find their way to one another, and God uses them. Two failures. Two recovered failures. And I want to say to you, I don't know what you might be dealing with today in your life, or what you have done with, what has happened in the past, because a lot of this stuff is from the past. I mean, I went to a gathering that was dealing with ministry to those who have gone through abortion and who might be on the fence. And they talk about the lasting effects on the woman and even some of the men that have been engaged, the lasting effects of what they go through after they have gone through having an abortion. The guilt, the weight. Some of them fall into hurting themselves, you know, inflicting pain on themselves. They carry this weight of what was done, and they need to be freed. They need to know that God loves them in spite of their acts and their compassion. They need to be loved like any one of us here need to be loved, regardless of what we've done. Or those who maybe have gone through a divorce and carry that guilt with them throughout their life because of what it might have done or has done to their children. And I speak from experience, okay? If you know me, you know I've been there and I've gone through it. So I know what God is able to do. That in spite of my divorce, God's compassion is rich. And in spite of what happened to my family unit and the afflictions and the pain to my son and daughter, that God's compassion is still able to do a work in our lives. And he is. And I trust he will continue. You see, this is the compassion of God, taking regardless of what we have done, where we have fallen short, how deep or how bad or how wide it was, and gather us and make us whole. Because only his compassion can do that. That is the answer for our world. And you and I are key holders to that compassion. We have something to offer people. Because they need what we have. We need what we have. We need to be more conscious and mindful of God's compassion in our lives. And not get buried under a stack of old CDs that really need to be thrown in the shredder and done away with once and for all. The world and the world around us is constantly about bringing up the garbage. If you are not convinced by that of that when you watch the news, then you're missing something, then you're not awake. Selling news is all about stirring up trash. So it's to get your interest to come back in, to convince you that this side is wrong and that side is wrong. And I mean, it's insane. I'm at the point where I refuse to be a part of it. We live in that kind of world. And I want to tell you that we have that ingrained in us. Whenever you take time to beat yourself up for something you've done, that's ingrained in you. Your mind has been trained to beat yourself, to say, oh, what a wretch I am. Now, not that that isn't true, okay? But acknowledge it and move on. Oh, God, I am, and I need you, right? Pastor Nick mentioned that this morning, how much we need him. Move on. Because our brains have been trained not to move on and to dwell. And it's not good. But there is something else that goes on along with these old CDs. There is one who likes to take them out of their cases and put them in, okay? Jesus referred to him as the sifter this morning. Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for the rest of you too, because you're all going to blow it. You're going to abandon me in the garden. Peter, you're going to lop some guy's ear off. But I want to tell you, I've prayed for you because the sifter will not get you, okay? And we all know who that is. In fact, his time is limited, but he still does his thing. I want to look at, before we go today, Revelation 12:10 with me. Look at that with me. And this is the call of victory here, okay? Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom, dominion, reign, of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters have been thrown down at last. He who accuses them and keeps bringing charges, now listen to this, of sinful behavior against them before our God day and night. You see, this is what he does. This is his job description. Let me get that CD. This should derail her today. This should discourage him today. And all of a sudden you find yourself like, what's going on here? And I don't know about you, but what that does to me is it depletes me. It drains me. It weighs me down. And the very person that God has created me to be, it starts to get buried. Because the accuser is accusing me quite often to me. What do you think you're doing? You know? I want to tell you, it's not just with me. This is his job description, and he does it with each and every one of us. But the good news is that there is coming a day where Jesus is closing that chapter and putting an end to his so-called freedoms. But what is the answer today? Because it's still going on today. And the answer is that God is in the business of dispensing compassion. The only reason why the accuser, the sifter, is running loose is because he serves God's purposes in some way. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the freedom and liberties that he has. Now, if you ever want to grapple theologically with that with me, we can do that another day at another time. Because it can be perplexing. Why would God allow is the big thing, you know? But God is in charge. And he is over everything. And nothing happens unless he knows about it. And there's going to come a time where he's going to put an end. But what he is doing today for us, and think of it this way, he wants us to realize how great his compassion is. And you and I, so often, when things are going good and going smooth, we lose sight of that, you know? And just maybe, he will allow the enemy to put a thorn in our side, as he did with Paul, that would drive us back to him and say, oh God, I need your compassion. Because when we have it good, we just kind of go our merry way. We forget. I mean, it's human. I do it all the time. I mean, and then God can come along and just allow the enemy who thinks he's getting away with murder, and sometimes he does, but who thinks he can get away with murder with you and I, and he just uses them just a bit. Thorn goes in, you go, oh, what am I doing? Lord, I need you. I need you. What have I been thinking? Why have I gotten so distracted with this, that, and the everything? Why do I plant my interests and my time in this and that and the other thing when I should be focused on you because of your great love and compassion for me and what it has done in my life, where it has taken me up to this point, and where it desires to take me later on and even tomorrow? Oh, God, help me. Help me. But you see, God is about recovery. And he wants to work in our lives. In some way, each and every one of us here today in this life have been given a slate. And it has recorded things that we have done throughout time. God's desire is to enter into our lives and to clean that slate and to wipe it clean and to keep it clean, because there's plenty of chalk around. You know what I mean? And so, before we go and before we pray today, I want to share this video with you.
If only I could go back and change some things, set things straight.
I wish I had a do-over.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I've wished 1,000 times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me I'm not the sum total of all my regrets?
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate?
I get a clean slate.
I don't know about you, but I want a clean slate. It's on. Okay. God has done the work. I wonder if we were to walk around and if we could see our slates that bear our lives, what they might look like this morning. I wonder if we would find our slates to be cleaned, or that there would be something on it that needs to be erased. Something that's been written down, even recently, you know? Because just like as kids when we went to school, every day the teacher would use the blackboard to write the lesson on, at the end of the day, it had to be cleaned. I remember staying after. I thought it was exciting. I got to stay after school to help clean the blackboards at St. Joachim and Anne School. And, you know? Every day the boards got clean, though, so that tomorrow it would start again. And quite often, that's the way our lives go. You know? Through the sacrifice of Christ, the boards have been wiped clean. But because we're still alive and breathing and moving about and doing life, it's very easy to get marked up and things written down upon. You know? And so, I wonder if you were to look over your shoulder at your slate, what it might look like, what might be written on. And this morning, before we go, as always, I want to give you an opportunity to pray. And I want to pray with you. Yeah? To come before God, to bring ourselves to Him, and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your compassion. So will you prepare your hearts with me, and let's close our eyes and take a moment to shut everything and everyone around us out. And I want to ask you this morning, look over your shoulder, search your heart. Is there something written on your slate? You see, God has erased our slates, and He's so willing to do it over and over again. His compassions never fail. The verse at the end of the video was Lamentations 3, verses 21-22, which say, "But this I call to mind," which, by the way, is a wonderful thing, "and therefore I have hope. It is because of the Lord's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because His tender compassions never fail." So this morning, as you take a moment, search your heart. Is there anything that's written down on there? Might have been done 10 years ago that you just missed, but you carry it around and you feel it. Or maybe it's something that happened this past week or month or within the last year. At the oddest moments, it comes back and it visits you. And you feel the weight, and you become sluggish in your spirit. Take a minute. Now I want to give you an opportunity. If you found something on your slate that you want God to erase, you want to take hold of His compassion for your life, stand with me. Because I'd like to pray for you. Say, Lord, here I am. All my fears, all my failures. I'll stand before you unashamed because of your great love. And may your compassions that never fail, that are new every morning, visit me right now, O God. Because I need you. And I am not going to do well. And I'm not going to be what I need to be without you. Father, thank you for your cleansing work. Lord, we trust that today could be a marked time for each of us to take hold of your compassion and to walk freely with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for listening.